somebody, one of my closer friends was like, hey, how's your music? And they just asked about it. And I remember having like nothing new to report. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And so that person actually made my accountability partner. I was like, mm-hmm. hey, like, could you just ask me that once a month?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Successfully Unsigned. I am Dale Shack. And this week we're back at you with a normal episode of our podcast, Successfully Unsigned. As always, don't forget to hit that like, hit that subscribe, rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Let us know where you're listening at. We would love to know whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Samsung Podcasts, straight from our website, wherever that happens to be, please let us know. Speaking of which, don't forget to visit our website at su-podcast.com. You can find more of our content there and a little bit about us. It feels like it's been an eternity since the three of us have all sat down in the same episode together, and we're excited to talk about a few things, namely inspiration, fulfillment, and taking breaks, and how important all three of those things are to your career as a musician, as an artist, and just life in general as a human being on the planet we call Earth. We are so excited to share these new thoughts with you, and we would love to hear what your thoughts are about what we discuss here in this episode and any other episode that you've listened to. Let us know down in the comments or find us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. We're also on TikTok at Unsigned Podcast. Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Successfully Unsigned. I am one of your three favorite co-hosts, D-Shack.
Patty G.
DJ Overheat.
And we are so happy to be back here once again with you. Again, this is Successfully Unsigned. Go follow us on Instagram at successfully_unsigned. You can find us on TikTok at Unsigned Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, everywhere else. Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts is still an oddly large place for us. If you listen on Samsung Podcasts, let us know. We want to know who you are. And I don't know. Maybe we'll give you a round of applause and thank you again and everything else that comes along with it. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm so proud of you, Dale. You did a normal intro. But you brought out that NPR voice and really just sold it.
Can we just address the elephant in the room? People are like, who is this person? Like, address where you've been and what happened to you.
Man, it has been a crazy little bit. I've been gone from the podcast for about a month now. I've been out of state, traveled down to Mississippi to play in the World Series of Stickball at the Choctaw Indian World Fair. And that was a fun time. Got to spend some time down there around some really, really good friends, played in the tournament, and then went to Oklahoma, where I'm from. Where all my family lives, and worked there for the Chickasaw Nation for 2 weeks teaching at a youth art academy, taught the theater tech class, and really, really proud of my student that was there. She ended up mixing the entire show by herself, which we did Into the Woods Junior.
Love Into the Woods. Such a good show.
And that was my first time being around it. Oh, I'd seen bits and pieces of like the movie, but...
No, the movie does not count. I need to show you the like original Broadway cast. I finally found it on DVD, and it is so good. One of my favorite musicals.
Mm. Well, this was my first experience with it, and I was impressed. It was a lot of fun. The kids that acted did great. Of course, the whole Youth Art Academy is where I got my start doing anything audio, anything tech related. The first time I ever got, you know, any hands on any faders was there. Yeah. And so it's really special for me personally to get to go back and kind of give back to my origins and also the younger generation that is coming in and learning these things. And I was, like I said, I was thrilled that the student I had completely mixed that show. She did a fantastic job, you know, and as all the kids do there. It's really, really a great experience for
maybe
all of them.
Maybe one of the kids will end up on our show one day.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Maybe so.
When they're big and famous. When we're big and famous.
They can work for us if they want.
Oh. No? Okay. If you want to work for us.
Yeah.
Without any pay.
Without any pay. Out. Yeah. we'll pay you in compliments and be like, that was a good job.
You did an excellent job.
That was awesome. But like you said, your stickball thing too. Yeah. I was like, I saw the video of the commentators or whatever.
They're funny.
You had that one play. I don't even know what happened.
I had
in
one
it.
Play.
It was like one real Dale Shackelford, nice retrieve there, and it's like people piling on top of each other. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, you really should watch it. You should watch Stickball. Like, as someone,
it's interesting.
Someone who hates sports, it's actually very enjoyable to watch. And commentators are funny.
So yeah. I have forgotten to tell y'all. I should have told you before the episode started. I will be gone for another weekend in September to go to another tournament.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'll be with
that'll be in Oklahoma, going down there to play, and we're actually. We drew to play our rivals in the first round of this tournament. So excited about that. It's been a minute since I've played against them.
Not the rivals.
We're going to play against Tuskahoma at Tuskahoma. So it'll be a fun, hard-fought.
I love it.
Hard-fought game. Nope. And I'm moving to offense because I don't run that much anymore from it. So.
Oh, you finally are making the move.
Well, I wanted to.
Okay.
But this tournament also, the World Series has a bunch of different age divisions, and the division that I play in is the men's division, which is 18 and up, specifically. There's also a 35 and up, and then they have some youth divisions as well, but it's 18 and up for the men's and the women's as well. However, at Tuskahoma, the Labor Day Festival, they don't have any youth division tournaments, and so their ages, they allow... I don't know what the official age is now. It's probably 16, but they allow, you know, kids that are younger... But, you know, older teenagers, 16, 17, to play with the adults as well. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first started playing stickball with the team officially, there wasn't an age minimum. So I started playing, I think I was 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13 when I joined the team. I think my first tournament down there, I was probably 14 at. Anyway. So we have a lot of younger kids that are, you know, athletic and running all the time and playing, you know, sports in school. And the younger kids, like I was at that point in time, usually get sent to midfield. That's kind of a good place for a lot of them to start when they're, you know, they're coming up and they're working on their stick skills still, but they have the energy and the stamina to just run all day.
So, you know. For people who don't know, stickball is like lacrosse, right?
It's very similar to lacrosse.
Okay.
So, lacrosse comes from a lot of the tribes up north. The Iroquois Confederacy, I think the Cherokee play, they have their own kind of thing, which is kind of a mix between the southern stickball and kind of lacrosse.
Yeah.
Stickball, as I play it, is a Chickasaw Choctaw sport, southeastern. You know, the Creek will play it, Seminole will play it, Uchi, I think, play it. The Shawnee, I think, play it. There's a number of different tribes that play it. It's the southern version of it, and in my opinion, the harder version.
It definitely is.
It's
so
a lot
difficult.
Of fun.
You should have seen me. I was at this man's house. He's like, can we throw around the stick ball? I'm like, sure, dude. Yeah, easy. And then he gave me the stick, and I was like, there's no way you're asking me to catch that ball in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The net is like, I mean, it's probably a solo cup.
Yeah,
thick. Like you cannot. It's so because you have to clap. Mm-hmm.
And unlike lacrosse, instead of one stick, you have two for
you
stickball.
Have two, yeah.
For Chickasaw Choctaw stickball, you have two sticks that you're using to pick up, throw, catch, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And those guys, you know, when you're out on the field playing, will chunk that ball, you know, as hard as they can, and that ball is about the size of a golf ball.
Yeah.
And the game balls are all leather. They're hard. Getting hit with it hurts.
Yeah. Because
they'll throw them at 70, 80 miles an hour, as far and as
oh,
hard as they
goodness,
can.
Yeah.
And there's people that catch them, just whoosh, catch and throw back, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to do in a game. It's hard to catch in a game.
Muscle memory thing, I feel like. Just,
it is.
You have to have done it forever.
And, you know, a lot of players have played their entire life. Like, you know, they're born with a pair of sticks in their hands, as you know, as we'll say.
Yeah.
You know, you go down there in some places in Mississippi and in some places in Oklahoma, you'll see stickball poles, you know, out in people's yards, just like you'd see like a basketball goal, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of suburbs and whatever. And like in housing neighborhoods, just, you know, everybody's got a basketball goal. Well, yeah. But then, you know, in some places, everybody's got a stickball pole. And so when I go home, we got a stickball pole in the back that I go, you know, throw around at.
Nice. But we're glad that you've held it down for us playing stickball, and we have held it down for you. On the podcast.
Yes, you
lots
have.
Of interviews.
Yeah. We met a lot of people while you were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't watched, guys, go watch our interview with Anna Wagner. And then we did an interview with Swift Artists. It was a really fun episode. And then we just released the interview with Samo Sage last week. So
Jane Johnston.
And Johnston Ellis. We interviewed Johnston too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to forget about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see
that.
So we got
four interviews in while you were gone.
Yeah. There was 1 week we did three. It's crazy.
Yeah. And shout out to David for doing Same Osage.
Yeah. That was, we had Melody back on the show. Mm-hmm. It was just a really fun episode. It was hilarious.
We've talked about Tonka a lot on our podcast. Yes. And we've met him quite a few times, all three of us. But, never were able to get him on the show, so glad I'm excited to listen to it. I'm gonna try and listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
It was a fun show. Definitely Black Heart Sage, shout out to you, bro. You made that episode so hilarious.
I'm excited. I liked his fit.
Just oh yeah, he was wearing all. The pants were
they're so amazing. Good. I want them.
Amazing. Yeah, but we are back, all three of us. Just us doing an episode. It's felt like forever.
It's been quite a while.
But we're back. And
the last time that we did it was the day before I got laid off, which I've made my entire personality of being unemployed. So
Patty, you're so sorry.
He's a lazy slacker, don't be sorry. Man.
You know what? I've really been enjoying my time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
So shout out to the Tennessee government for unemployment money.
Is that still pretty good? I don't know.
It's not bad. I mean, on top of my severance pay, I'll be able to live till October.
This man's mad chilling.
Till October?
Nice. This man, you got to put in a resume. Assuming,
because I'm not spending as much. Okay, let me not. I'm not spending as
my
much.
My finances,
so
yeah.
I'm Let's not spending break it as down. Much. So, like, what I'm getting from unemployment, a lot of it I can just put right into savings. So, I think I should be okay till October.
So, do you want to, buy me some stuff?
I don't have extra money.
Yeah. And all that, you probably have to pay back at the end of the year, too, the unemployment, probably. Don't you have to pay it back?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just signed the things.
Don't know. But anyways, we're not talking about unemployment tonight.
We could be.
That's next week. We'll talk about unemployment.
Poor starving artists, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it relates. We're talking about time management this week as an artist, because if you're like me, or like Dale, or maybe like Patty G., we all mismanage our time in different ways, not on purpose, just, it happens. And as an artist, it can be tough to kind of stay on your stuff with, writing and recording and marketing and social media and all of that. And also it can feel a little overwhelming. So I thought we'd do this episode to talk about the benefits of rest. And also, just how to manage your time effectively when you're trying to release something or when you're just working on your music, not to, overdo it or anything and burn yourself out. So.
And some of us are definitely better with time management than others.
Why are you looking at me?
What? This man is gone for an entire month and he's like, time management?
I'm choosing violence, man.
Yeah, hold on.
Choosing violence.
But first, show and yell, right?
Show and yell okay. First. Ba-doo. Oh. Guys, we're getting back into the flow of it. Give us some grace, okay? People are like, what? Is this their first episode?
No. Literally.
It might be.
Yeah.
I don't remember any
of the
others.
He's going first.
I'll go first. So this is a book that I got. It's called David Overstreet. It's really, really good. I'm just kidding. It's a cigar holder, guys.
Yo.
Oh, it's a cigar holder. Hey. And it's also a humidifier for my cigars, too. I haven't gotten any to go in it yet, but it's like a portable humidifier.
Humidifier. That's the thing that keeps you from getting nosebleeds at night, right?
Yes. Yeah. That works, too. I have one of those in my room, and it's a lifesaver.
They are great. I used to use them as a kid a lot.
Yeah, but this obviously... I'm not a cigar aficionado, but every now and then I'll light a stogie. And so, a friend got me this a while ago and I was like, this is actually a really good gift, So I'm going to cherish it. It has my name on it. Anytime someone gets you something with your name on it, it's like automatically.
Yeah. Especially when it's a tattoo. If you're out there, one of our audience members, especially if you're in a relationship, you should get a tattoo of your significant other's name.
Yeah.
Somewhere on your body, maybe lower back. Something like that.
Oh my gosh.
That explains a lot about you, Patrick.
That's wow. The tattoo thing is, I saw somebody got a tattoo of Trump on their forehead. Like the word Trump. And so I'm like,
I mean,
that's going to be tough to explain to the kids.
Do you guys know that video?
Oh boy.
Do you guys know that video of that old guy in the MAGA hat? And he's like, save us, Donald Trump. Save us. Save us, please. Save us, Donald Trump. Literally as if Like, I don't know. He's like being arrested or something.
That's crazy.
And he's like, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, can you hear me? Donald Trump, save us, please, Donald Trump. It is so funny. I quote it all the time. I'm like, Donald Trump, save us,
Donald Trump. Yeah.
Patrick would do that with Selena, though.
Selena, yeah. Well, except she's not alive.
Wouldn't that like be a...
But Donald Trump is alive.
Yeah, but, you know.
As far as we know, yeah.
Spirits can hear, man, you know.
Okay, go.
Well, I have... an old tie. It's actually a very special tie to me. This is not one that I've really ever worn. It's not really my style, and I don't wear a lot of like neckties like this. However, this tie was given to me by my grandfather, and it was given to him by his father-in-law, so my grandmother's father. And so it was just kind of a neat tie that he gave me when I was probably a teenager. He never wore it. My grandfather, to my knowledge, never wore it. It was too short for him. But from what I've been told, my grandmother's father, who was the first owner of this, was not a very tall man. So I guess fit him. It is why I get it. but it's very neat. I've always kind of like, there's a little bit of a texture in it. There's the, just some kind of like almost diamond like shapes and some cross hatches that kind of reflect the light in different ways, along with, of course, the pattern on the front. So
I like the color.
Yeah, it's a beautiful kind of emerald kind of color. So
emerald.
Yeah, gives Wizard of Oz vibes.
It kind of looks like the Diamondbacks logo, like the baseball team, the Diamondbacks.
I can kind of see that. Yeah,
like there are Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, kind of looks like it'd be for like some sort of anime or like Pokemon. Like a gym leader.
That is so weird. You said that. That's exactly what I was thinking.
See?
Reminds me of boomerangs.
It doesn't. I was wrong. I feel like, when's the last time you had something that wasn't clothing as you're showing you? I mean, it's great. I love it. I mean, I need to have more clothing as my show.
It was like, here's my t-shirt I've worn for the past 3 days.
This is my wife beater, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have some of those. I used to wear those pretty regularly because they're really comfortable.
Yeah.
And so if I was just like hanging around the house, like that's what I was in. Of course, I was doing the whole trailer park thing and be like up above my gut. Yeah. I'm just sitting there watching TV like.
Yeah, I have a really great picture of him.
Oh, no.
He's in this like white trash white beater. Oh, and he's just sitting like this belly out and it's like just halfway up his stomach.
Not the belly, bro.
I hate that it's really comfortable. Like if you're ever sitting there watching a movie and it's just hot, right?
Dale,
like
you this got is not you, something you share on a podcast.
You got your AC on. Footprint. I ain't ashamed.
Okay.
I ain't ashamed because it's comfortable, man.
You guys have probably seen it on the show.
Well, I mean, there's like barely any air in your ass. So.
His belly is always sticking out.
Oh my goodness.
Not like that.
Don't grab it like that.
But like his shirt always rides up.
It does. It does.
Why
and I don't
were you able to.
I haven't been to the gym in a while. Okay, David.
He was like folding it. It's crazy.
But no, like if you're sitting there in the house and it gets hot, right? And like, you know, you got your air on, but it's still just kind of warm in there and you're watching a movie, you know, especially if you just by yourself or whatever. Take the bottom of your shirt and stick it up on top of your stomach. You'll be surprised at how much like heat just leaves your body.
What if people's shirt doesn't balance on the top of their stomach?
Well, then, you know, go, I don't know, eat a few sandwiches, drink some sodas, throw your gut out a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Food baby.
Get a little food baby.
Get the food baby. Okay.
You know?
Thanks for the advice, dude.
Yeah, I'm not a medical professional, but you know what?
Really?
I know, shocking.
It is shocking.
But food is good for you. It's nutritious.
That is a quote. That's a shirt. Food is good for you.
Food is good for
well,
you.
Well,
so.
Some.
Anyway, Patrick.
We need to move on. We haven't done this in a while, obviously. Big Bird! This is a Big Bird chair for a child, so I do not use it, but my plushies will use it. This is from, I forget what year. But I had seen it on like some random screenshot on Facebook and it was, I don't even know what it was for, but I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I would like always see it on the internet, but I never saw it for sale or anything. To be fair, I didn't like actively look it up. But then I saw it in a store one time and I was like, oh my goodness, I've seen this chair online and I really want it. But it was like $100. And I was like, $100? So
wow.
Then I was just scrolling through Facebook Marketplace and I found this chair for I think $25, something like that.
Mm.
And so I instantly got it and I did drive an hour and a half away to Clarksville for it.
But so all that gas money.
But I knew there was something in there.
$25. I drove from work, so it was more like just an hour.
Oh, okay.
And then I drove home.
Don't justify and, this guy.
No, I'm not. I'm being sarcastic.
Not only that, first off, it was this very kind of sketchy place. Like, she easily could have shot me.
I feel like a lot of your stories somehow get you in places
this is,
that you should not be.
I think it's from the 70s because she was saying it was this older, like once the lady came out, I was like, okay, she's safe. But like the people who are driving by look kind of like redneck. No offense. Okay.
That is,
when I go to a redneck place, this is usually how I look and I do not fit in.
Yeah. You should tell the story at some point of the first time you went to the Woodbury Flea Market with me and Caleb.
I mean, nothing happened.
Nothing happened, but
watermelon
like,
shorts, and I just obviously did not fit in there.
He was, it was.
Is he wearing pink? Shoot him. We're like,
literally,
we were worried.
Literally. So, just, you know, sometimes I get a little sketched out around those areas. But this lady was super sweet. She's like, well, it was my son's back in the 70s, and then I passed it down to his grandchildren. Now they're getting a little older for it, so... she did not ask me if it was for my child or grandchild, thankfully, because every time someone asks me that, I have to be like, no, it's for me.
Mm.
So this is from like the 70s, which is really cool. I mean, she got it brand new. It needs a little cleaning up, but, it was a really cool find. And I did get to go to Quick Trip. Shout out to Quick Trip. Please sponsor us. That gas station has the best food. I love Quick Trip's food. I go every time on a road trip. So that was my first time. Well, not first time.
Oh, that's cute. That's Cutie, right?
Yeah, Cutie. Yeah.
Cutie.
And then there was also
the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was also some place that was like a
loan
building of some sort. I don't know, but it was like called like Cash Cow or something. And it had a giant cow statue with glasses. And so I, of course, stopped by the road and took a picture with it.
Mm.
And I love any like sort of giant statues of like weird things. Like I always will take pictures with it. You can see on my Instagram.
Mm.
So, you know, it was a really good trip. I got Quick Trip out of it. I got the giant cow statue and I got this very lovely Big Bird chair.
Yeah.
So shout out to Big Bird. Love him.
Twas lovely. I totally didn't try and sit in that, by the way, when we did an episode at your house.
You know,
totally didn't almost break
that chair. I know it's totally different brands here, but hear me out. That chair reminds me a lot of like the old McDonald's like interior design.
My goodness. I'm just 70s.
So
like 90s McDonald's, like 80s, 90s
McDonald's,
decor. I am obsessed with. I hate that they ever changed it. And it goes so expensive nowadays. Like even just one of the little like hamburger stools sells for like $200.
Mm.
So I mean, I would love to get my hands on like a full display of some sort one day. I want my house to look like the inside of a McDonald's in 1985.
You are the Hamburglar.
Yes.
I'm sure there's something for it.
I'm sure one day I'll find it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that tie, didn't you?
I do have a tie.
Of like the old logo? Because we found that at
Starland Emporium. Shout out Starland. Love them too.
Didn't it have a different name back then though?
Yeah, it used to be called Pre to Postmodern.
Yeah.
They go by Starland Emporium, so.
Is it the same business just renamed? Okay.
I feel like McDonald's, maybe I'm tripping, but like weren't their bathrooms like super cool too? Like
that
there were
I don't
more
remember.
There was like
the
more
bathrooms.
Decor in the bathroom.
But maybe so.
I remember the old video games.
Yeah.
That like seemed to like never work, but
it never did.
They still were kind of cool.
Or the dirty play places.
Oh, so
yeah,
it was so dirty
crusty, but
definitely
but
worth playing
fun.
In though. Definitely worse.
Just never knowing when you'd like what liquid.
Okay.
You know.
cut!
You just never knew.
Ew.
I mean, I was talking about McDonald's, so.
Well, speaking of McDonald's, you have to have really good time management if you work at McDonald's. So we're going to come back.
That's one of the worst transitions I think we've had on this show.
When we come back, we're going to talk about time management, not just at McDonald's, but in your music.
I have a better one. Did the Hamburglar steal your time? We're not going to anymore because we'll be right back after this break.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Is that staying here this entire episode?
Yes.
I mean, do you want me to move it? Do you miss seeing my face?
No, oh, not really, but cute. It's kind of weird with like this yellow line through it from my point of view.
No, it needs you can, to stay.
Can you? I was going to ask if you could turn it sideways, really.
To what? Look at you?
Well, so I'd rather look at Big Bird than him.
Oh.
So, Big Bird's pretty cool, man.
Okay.
Big Bird's just a big bird, you know?
He has his moments.
He's probably a government spy, but that's okay.
Wow, that's a stretch.
I mean, PBS.
I don't know what the connection. What's PBS?
PBS like public broadcast system. It's owned by the government.
Oh,
literally.
I never thought about
that. And he's a bird. And birds are government spies.
Air on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's the only way I could have watched it.
So Elmo must be in the CIA then.
Exactly. It. Yeah.
Well. Oh shoot. Confirmed. The camera's on. Welcome back, everybody. Wow, we shouldn't have had that conversation. Welcome back. We are back after a really rough first segment, but we're self-aware.
If you stuck around with us, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Should we let the fans in on the successors? Successors? I can't even say that word.
Successor.
Szechuan we have a new sauce. Fan name. So as you know, we have billions and billions of fans, and they've been saying, oh my goodness, guys, like, what should we call ourselves? What should we call ourselves?
It's a big
like,
issue.
Should we be the unsigners? Should we be the signees? Should we be
the signees?
The sussies? The
sussies?
You a little sus for suggesting that.
But we had Swift artists on, and, you know, as they're Swifties, obviously. And so they're like, well, what should y'all's fans name be? And we're like, we don't know. We've been being hounded and hounded with messages by hundreds and thousands of people asking what they should be called. And they're like, well, what about the successors? So you guys are our successors.
We're going to bring this inaugural meeting of the successors to order.
You're going
to
be taking this over after we're dead.
So congratulations.
Yeah, awesome.
Congratulations.
This is your podcast. We have
fan names now.
That actually is low-key good, though, because it is a successor, like, gets possession. You know, like, it's,
he's still saying
it's
successor.
Yours, you know? It's like ours and yours as well.
Successy.
Because you will inherit it. Anyways, our topic tonight, keep getting sidetracked with successors. Is it successors or successors?
How to handle time management, how to handle which is time not management. What we're doing now.
We have a limited time for this podcast, and we are poorly, poorly. Yeah.
No, we're good.
Using it.
You understand, don't you? But yes, time management is the topic tonight. This topic was kind of on my mind just because I feel like a lot of artists kind of panic when they see other artists doing well, and they're like, I got to do this, and then quality is kind of sacrificed, you know, in the like to try and get it done in a certain time frame or whatever. I think we did talk about in one episode like having a timeline for like your releases.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah. What do you guys? What are some things that come to your mind with this one?
I mean, there's a whole bunch you can get into with when it comes to time management, because it's all around us, whether it is in like releases. You know, if we're talking about singles or an album or an EP, it's in how you spend your daily, you know, life, both as just a human being, but also in trying to make music and how that fits into that. It's in how, as you spend time doing music, you know, what are you focusing on? You know, are you trying to create something new? Are you trying to rehearse? Are you trying to, you know, there's a whole lot of different elements that we could get into with this time management and other things too that we talked about that y'all both brought up before we started this podcast episode. So what kind of flavor are we looking at here?
Flavor?
Yeah.
I think the flavor, to me...
Is it Flav?
Is... It's like a strawberry flavor. And...
like your lemonade.
By that...
Yeah.
I mean... Like we talked about kind of artist panicking a second ago. I'd mentioned that. But I think having the time to like, if you don't spend time outside of music, you're not going to have inspiration to write the music itself.
True.
You know? So, you know, I've talked about before how I'll take some time away from the guitar or whatever, and then I'll come back. And then it's like this creative, you know, explosion happens. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm working on a song right now. I literally wrote it in like 3 hours and like produced it and everything. And I was like, that hasn't happened forever. But before that I had been away from music for a little bit. And so I don't know. I feel like taking that time to yourself to kind of reset is good. And yes, there can be artists. There's always going to be an artist that's like doing probably better than you, or like they're in a position that you feel like they're working harder than you. That should motivate you. Yes. But it also shouldn't freak you out.
Because just know that they're looking at another artist that is doing better than them.
Yeah.
And that artist is looking at another artist that's doing better than them.
Yeah.
All the way up to, you know, your big artists who are huge. Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, all those people. I mean, you literally look at Taylor Swift. The whole thing right now is an artist released something and she releases a 10 billionth version of the Tortured Poets Society or whatever it is. And it's the same thing. Every artist, when you're an artist, period, no matter if it's music or painting or television, movies, whatever, I mean, it's a competition. It shouldn't be necessarily, but you're always going to compare yourself to others. And that's something that can be a good thing, but also knowing when to step off and be like, okay, but I'm also my own individual. And this isn't necessarily like this. It's not just about, okay, am I doing better than this person?
It's really interesting you say that, because the first thought after David kind of brought us back into focus there that I had was, it's not a competition. And I agree with everything you said there. I guess I'm looking at it from the opposite side when I say this, in that, what is it that you're making? Are you trying to build a business? Maybe, you know, if you're trying to make a living, perhaps. But your goal is not the business. Even if you start a business as an individual, your goal is not the business. Your goal is to do what the business does. In this case, make art, right? So you have to remember your purpose, which is to make art. It's not to necessarily compete with, you know, the artist next door, right? Every time I write a song, I'm not trying to compete with David and being like, oh, hey, I wrote a better song than you did.
Well, you're an entertainer.
Right, you're an entertainer. Like, yeah. So there is a competitive element to it, and you can absolutely and should use, like you mentioned, Patrick, people around you as motivation. But it's not a competition in the sense of
it's a competition in the sense of like capitalism. Like capitalism's similar. It's like the person who you're gonna put in, like you're gonna get out what you put in.
Yes.
In the most case. Like, but that being said, it's also like, don't get caught up in that hustle grind mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, oh, that Gary V, like, just hustle and grind. And then you're like, doing what? It's like, that's an excuse. Hustle and grind. Yeah. And you're like,
right.
But doing what? You know, so it's...
I think this goes back to our conversation about writer's block and how we talked about getting burnout and, you know, what happens. Like, okay, creatively, I'm not feeling fulfilled right now, or I'm not feeling like anything coming to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a struggle, especially as an artist. Like, it's good to take the time away, but then, you know, you start to worry when you step away, because it's like, well, if I step away from my socials for a month, then all that hard work I've put in the previous months seems to just disappear. And it's a whole issue with the algorithm. Go to our writer's block episode. Go to our social media episode. It's going to be kind of a combination of the two of these as well. So if you want like a full round experience of what we're talking about, that those are some good like pairing episodes. But either way, just, you know, time management is something that everyone struggles with. Mm. Everyone in your life, time management is hard, especially with the hustle kind of grind culture that especially that America has. I think it's really a problem in America. You look at other countries and they're not like rushing to like do all these things and to like constantly work every second of every day. Whereas like in America, it's like, if you're not working 24/7, then what are you doing with your life? You're a failure.
A lot of that social media too. It influences you to think that people are like nonstop working and they never, but it's like everyone has different circumstances clearly. And social media is mainly highlights, right? It's not anyone's low lights. Mm-hmm. So that can make some artists I know feel like feel bad about where they're at and like, oh, which can be motivating, but it can also have the opposite effect. It's like, why even do this then if I'm not, you know?
If you can never catch up to that, why, you know?
Right.
And so with that, I'm kind of glad you brought that because that was a thought that I had earlier. You know, with social media being highlights, when you're trying to work, whether it's for social media or for not, if you're trying to push your social media, then I know we've advised this in the past, and this kind of goes with time management. Well, it really goes with time management. Make batch content. Make a whole bunch of content in a row in one short period of time. Take an hour to make, you know, 10 videos or however many videos you fit in an hour, and then you have the content going forward. And because that's what your big accounts are doing. They're not doing one video. Oh wait, I'm supposed to say, what do I do? No, they have that figured out. That's why you have social media managers that schedule those things out. Because what you see is, oh man, it seems like they're always doing something. But really behind the scenes, they're not. You're getting the highlights of them showing, hey, well, here's a piece here and here's a piece here and here's a piece here. But they're posted in a consistent manner that makes it feel like that's their life. But they have a bigger life than that. And you have to as well. Because if you don't, you get burnout. If you don't, you're not going to have inspiration. If you don't, you're going to get so caught up in the weeds of everybody else is doing this and I'm doing so bad because I'm not doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not hustling and I'm not doing these things that you're going to eventually implode.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask you guys, do you ever listen to a song and think to yourself, this song feels forced? Like this song doesn't feel like, because that can happen, right? When you're writing a song, like you feel like, oh, I have to. That's why I will never be a like commercial songwriter, because you have to sit in a room with somebody and you schedule the day and you got to write a song. And it's like the creative experience is so nuanced. It's like it's not, it can be, yes, you can sit down and have a connection with somebody and write a really good song, but it can also be you sit in a room with somebody for 2 hours and it's like, nothing's coming. And so it's, you know, I feel like just with time management, as far as that, you know, you just have to be careful.
You know, and if you're an artist who is also writing your own music, kind of like what we're talking about in this context, again, you have to remember the purpose that you're writing, the purpose of why you do all of this. It's to create that art. It's to release that emotion. It's to be able to relate to other people. It's to whatever your reason is. It's probably not sitting there thinking, okay, you know, I'm going into this, the purpose being, let me just write this song in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Your purpose is to create, typically. And you, if you lose sight of that, then you lose the emotional connection that makes music the universal language.
Yeah.
You know, you begin to miss those elements that make it human. And not to say that you can't schedule co-writes and that you can't do those things, because that's absolutely an avenue of business. But if that's not your goal, then don't try to get influenced and think that that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And it's like the whole reason I brought that up is because you have to have an outside life to have that, that peace about your life and that like broad range of like different experiences and relationships with people, so that when you sit down to write a song, it's not, you have emotions to pull from. You have experiences to pull from. And it just, when you're in a happier mindset in general, like it's easier to write because you're not anxious. Like anxiety bogs down creativity in a lot of different ways. And so just like taking that time, like you had mentioned batch content. Absolutely. For me also, if you're working on a song, like work on it for like 30 minutes and then take a break for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just do it in smaller bits, or take some time in the morning before you start your day to work on your music, or just think of ideas, you know. It can start as simply as just like carving out time each week before the day arrives to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to dedicate to this.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to dedicate to this.
You know, a number of years ago, I was listening to a panel discussion where the lead singer of Hailstorm, I think her name is Lizzie Hale, if I remember correctly, was talking about writing her music. And one of the things she talked about was, she said, you know, writing like anything else is something that you do have to practice, right? Your first song is not going to be as good as your later songs if you continue on. Just because you will have growth, you'll have learned, you'll have practiced. It is a skill that you can develop. And so for her, one of the things that her mission that she does is she's like, every day, she's like, I block off an hour every day to go in and write. And sometimes that hour, I come away with nothing that I like. And sometimes I come away with something that's good. It's not necessarily, she's not using that hour to force herself to think certain ways or act certain ways or whatever, but an hour just to simply practice her craft and try to get better at that and to try different things. You know, whether it's writing a poem or writing a song, you know, you can take dedicated practice, doesn't detract from the emotion that you're putting into something.
Yeah.
If you go in with the intent to practice to make yourself better, then it's not detracting and doesn't devalue the outcome of the end product. Sometimes we think that, you know, talent is all of this and talent is all of that, and then we kind of say, oh, well, if you know, you spent all this dedicated time looking up in a dictionary the right word or using some other tool to find something that rhymes, oh, well, then that's not as valuable. This song isn't as valuable anymore because you had to use these other tools, or maybe you read from old notes, or maybe you rewrote an old song, right? We're like, oh, well, that was cheating. That devalues the song. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Songwriting, like anything else, is a skill. Now, some people may have kind of a propensity to kind of make them better, or they have a viewpoint that brings out different thoughts that are easier to relate to as a writer. But in the end, it's still a skill that you can develop and become better at than where you are now. You know, there's a lot of thoughts. If you like reading a book, there's a book called Talent is Overrated, which is not about music. It's not about songwriting or anything of that nature at all, but it has a lot of good information about time management and specifically dedicated practice. And I actually really enjoyed that book because it's, you know, it's all about getting your fundamentals. You know, it talks a lot about like Tiger Woods and how everyone thinks, oh, he was just a prodigy and he was born into just being an amazing golfer. And he just is, you know, he's just naturally great, but not really. His father was a golf instructor and was a golf coach. And he grew up literally in like high chairs watching his dad practice his form over and over and over for hours not on end in the garage. And so of course when he grows up, he's already familiar with the form of swinging a golf club. You know, you go back and look at some of the other famous composers that were prodigies, and turns out, well, they became famous in their 20s for writing stuff, but they were already writing like 10 years before they ever became famous.
Yeah,
that might be their first big piece and everyone's like, oh, they're a prodigy. But they've been doing it for 10 years. They've been doing it for X amount of time.
Yeah.
Practicing dedicated time spent taking other people's stuff and rearranging other people's stuff, learning from other people how they became better and how they did what was good. And you can do the same thing too. And that doesn't devalue your art.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many cases like that. Even in modern day, Chappell Roan is really on the rise right now. Sabrina Carpenter. And there's so many people being like, oh my goodness, they came out of nowhere. Or she's an industry plant, and it's like, okay, first off, as someone who was an OG fan of Sabrina Carpenter's music, I've been listening to her for a lot longer than her just recently, but it's like, no, these artists have been doing it for a long time, and you look at a lot of the artists we've had on our show who've also been doing it, you know, at least 10 years and are just kind of now starting to get traction, not because they're not talented. They're very talented. We love a lot of our artists' music, but you know, it's hard. I mean, it's a hard business, and we've said this 10 billion times, but if you're not ready to, like, be in the long game, you should not be an artist. And it's just one of those things where if you're truly passionate about it and you work toward it, then you can do it. But yes, with that comes time management. I interviewed an operator of a Chick-fil-A in where I live, a few years ago for a school project, and I asked him, you know, like, so what is it? Because he had a family. He was also worked really closely with the business that I used to work at, and he was a really big customer. So I knew his family. I knew him. And I was like, so how do you balance, you know, making sure you make time for your kids and your wife and also like running two Chick-fil-A's. And he said something that has stuck with me. Shout out to Bo Noble, operator of Murfreesboro Chick-fil-A's. I don't... Yeah, that should be fun. shout out to you, Bo. Thank you. Give me a free sandwich. but he said, you know, there are different seasons of life, basically, right? So he's like, sometimes there are seasons where there is something going on with my family, or like it is just really important for me to spend time with my family, and yeah. I got to put work on the back burner. And then there are different seasons where my family's doing okay and work is really important, and I got to do that. And so translating that into your everyday life of, okay, if you're an artist, especially if you're a rookie artist starting out, you probably have a full-time job, right? Or you're going to school, or both, possibly. So you have your different kind of compartments of life. You have your social life, you have your hobbies, you have your work, maybe you have your school, and then you also have your artistry. And your goal is for your artistry and your work to eventually merge, but that's not a reality right now. And so figuring out, okay, there's a lot to balance, and it's very overwhelming. It's so overwhelming just being alive and being an adult sometimes and realizing you have 10 billion things you want to get done, you have to get done, whatever. But understanding, like, there's times where sometimes you need to take a break for a month and go home, spend time with your family.
I was working.
You were working for some of that. But also in May, you were also gone in May.
That's true. That's true.
And you were spending time with your family.
Yep.
And so, like, taking time and being like, look, I need some time to work on this versus focusing so much on my job or focusing so much on my music. Now with music, once again, it gets kind of rocky where it can be hard because it's like, okay, I want to make sure I'm being consistent with my posts or being consistent with XYZ. But at the end of the day, like, you can find your way back to, you know, doing well on the algorithm. And even those who are really grinding on that algorithm, like, they have their waves as well. You look at some of the biggest influencers, some of the biggest artists, like, they have their ups and downs of where they're doing great on social media. Selena Gomez was like the most followed person on Instagram for years and years and years. I don't think she is anymore. Maybe she still is. But I wouldn't really say people are talking about Selena Gomez's music nowadays. And obviously that's a little different. But still, it's okay. Just knowing that it's okay. Like, I don't gotta just grind and grind and grind. And sometimes, like, it can be oversaturated. There are certain artists where I'm like, okay, you have a release, like, every few weeks. And enough. It's overwhelming yeah. for me. I'm like, you just released two songs last month. Like, I'm still listening to those. Like, you can chill with your other songs. But I also understand, like,
it's a business,
yeah. Yeah, in your head, you're like, okay, but I got to pump these out. So yeah. It's really, really hard to find a balance. And that just goes for life in general. If you are not even an artist and you're listening to this, you're probably relating to it.
Yeah. I think one thing we haven't even brought up is, like, accountability. Like, having, yes. like, one thing I'll never forget, like, I was in one of those seasons where I had to work a lot, and there's a lot going on with my living situation. And I remember one time one of my closer friends was like, hey, how's your music? And they just asked about it. And I remember having, like, nothing new to report. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And so that person actually made my accountability partner. I was like, mm-hmm. hey, like, could you just ask me that once yeah, a month?
That's
you know?
Smart. That's yeah. really smart.
And so just having... It's not exactly the fear of letting someone down. It's just, it's more of, you know, it's like a motivation of, like, there are people who care about my music. Yeah. There are people who need to hear, like, get re-in touch with why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
And that stokes a fire in you, you know? Yes. Like, people could need to hear your music. You could need to hear your own music, you know, yep. like, to regain that confidence. And, you know, why we do things directly fuel how our performance while we're doing them. And so it's like having a mission statement, you know, like, mission statements aren't made for nothing. They're made to re-energize and to help people remember why they do certain things. And so if you have a friend, if you have someone that you make music with who just, like, trust me, if you ask them, hey, like, how's your music? Like, inside them, it's going to stoke that fire. Mm-hmm. And so as far as time management, that's going to help you kind of re-energize and start to, because I mean, we're all not perfect, right? Or no one's perfect. And so you have those moments where you're kind of lethargic, or you feel like this is overwhelming, or you're in those seasons. And so that's just part of being human. And so having that accountability is huge too, to like stoke that fire, to get on the time management and to really invest in it.
This all goes back to, like, I feel like our main mission statement of the show is like, build your network. Oh my goodness, build your network as an artist. Like, you need to be talking to so many people. You need to be going to so many shows. Oh, me being like, don't get overwhelmed. Yeah. Make sure you balance
yourself. Hustle and grind.
But also, go to every single show. No. But you need to make sure that you, like, are getting to know people.
Yes.
And it doesn't always have to be like, okay, so what's in it for me? Yeah. What does this person have that I need? But just creating those different avenues, and like just meeting different people. And I know that can in of itself be overwhelming, but once you start doing it, like, it gets a lot better, and it makes your job so much easier because you have so many people that want to help you out. And I know so many artists who, even with the content thing, like, they get together and kind of help each other with each other's content for content days or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's really helpful for them because now it's not just on me to prop my phone up, but I now have someone who can help me film, and I can have someone to bounce off ideas. And I mean, that just goes for anything, right? Like, literally brainstorming. Just think about group projects, despite how terrible they could sometimes be. Sometimes you really get great group projects where it's like, okay, well, if I mess my part up, then these people are going to be let down. And so finding those people, those like-minded people who have the same kind of goals and
aspirations
as you do, that I feel like I bring up Atlanta from Hexproof all the time too, but the part of the reason why I'm such close friends with her is because she has helped me change my mindset to be like, okay, this, it's not a matter of if but when for different aspects of my life. And that's how she sees her music. And if you have that mindset, even during the times where you get overwhelmed, it's like, you know what, I'm overwhelmed right now, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because eventually I'm going to make my goal.
Yeah. Just like learning how to quiet that inner, you know, part of you that that's trying to honestly fill you with doubt. Unfortunately, that anxiety can do that. And that being overwhelmed, and you just
go watch Inside Out too.
And I want to say real quick, you know, before we move on to our next segment, Patrick, as well as Patrick is saying about building your network. I mean, yes, we harp on that and we talk about it all the time because it is so vital. But also, like you said, it's not always about what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's literally nothing more than go have fun with this.
Yes.
And meet the people that are around you. You know, when you go to these shows, when you do make new connections, yes, there's quite potentially, you know, a benefit to your career out of it. Absolutely. You know, it's not something to just dismiss. But also, you quite possibly might make a great friend. And that should be your primary driving factor to go talk to these people. Like, hey, this could be really interesting. You know, you can make a new friend. You can make a memory if it's at a show. You can have a new experience from a new band or whatever. Both the people on stage, the audience that's around you, the people that are working the merch booth, whatever that looks like, they're people that you can go and become friends with. And maybe it does help your career, but ultimately, it can also help you just as a person in that moment have new friends and get the social interaction that sometimes introverted artists, if you're locked away in your house writing all the time, need.
Yeah.
And you never know what inspiration you get out of conversations.
That was beautiful, Dale.
So
that was gorgeous.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to be right back.
Hey guys, what's up? It's DJ Patty G. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. If you want to go find more, go to our website, su-podcast.com. We have lots of cool playlists there, whether it be from artists that we've had on the show or with other independent artists from all over the world. Also, make sure to follow us at successfully_unsigned on all of our platforms, as well as Unsigned Podcast on TikTok.
You guys will be our best friend if you go rate us 5 stars on all platforms. And if you like and subscribe this video, make sure to keep watching so you can see more of our shenanigans and other tomfoolery. Thanks, guys.
We were working on our time management during the break. Sorry.
We really were.
Were we?
No.
A little bit.
Speaking of time management, we just collaborated on Instagram with the band Dawn. Oh, I'm literally wearing their shirt. Hoping to have them on the show soon, but they have a song called BRB TTYL, and it's about just like wishing you could go back to pre-internet days, or like pre-like iPhone days, to where you like had to log on the internet and you're not just constantly on it. And we did talk about screen time.
Oof.
And mine. Just go watch the Instagram. Pretty rough. It's on our Instagram at successfully_unsigned. I'm sitting in a car. And comment what your screen time usually is. I had to turn mine off. I'll just tell you that.
Oh, your screen time?
I turned mine off because I was ashamed.
You ignored the problem instead of fixing it?
Yeah, so don't do that for time management.
So actually...
don't do what I do.
About a month ago, I went ahead and deactivated like my personal social media accounts because various reasons, but one of which when I was trying to go through was I saw my screen time. I was like, oh... And I realized how often, just out of habit, I would just flick over and hit, you know.
Yeah.
I remember Facebook alone was like, which for me, I feel like this is bad. I don't know. Other people might be on there way more than I was. I was on Facebook on average like an hour and a half a day. And then I was like hitting, you know, I was opening the app like on average like 120 something times. Just out of habit, just flick over. And I might be on there for like 20 seconds, but I flick over and hit it, flick over and hit it. And I was like, this is not good. And I didn't look at my Instagram screen time or other social medias.
I guarantee.
And so, you know, when I got rid of it, I found myself literally out of habit sliding over and hitting that blank space where like that app was. And I was like, oh,
yep.
Oh, so I'm,
so he's been bit.
Time management, the overall thing is, careful with your socials and the doom scrolling. That's what will really get you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But speaking of, we're gonna be on our phones today, and we're gonna play a little game that David found called Spottle.
You guys know it's becoming a lot bigger now. Oh, really? I feel like people are
okay. Asking. Well, we were gonna do this like over a month ago, so we're the OGs.
Yeah, we're the OGs.
We knew about it before it was cool.
Oh yeah.
So you basically guess an artist of the day, and as you guess more and more, it'll tell you like whether you're close, like
gives you clues.
Yeah, it gives you clues of like, oh yes, it is, this artist is male or female. It is they are American or Australian or whatever, or they're pop, R&B, hip hop, whatever. So who wants to do the first guess? There's no clues to start off.
James Taylor. It's not going to be. It's not going to be him. But
we just talked about James Taylor on our Anna Wagner episode.
Nice.
Okay, it did not put James Taylor. Just put James Bay. But it actually really helped.
James
Bay.
Did it help?
Because their debut was in 2014. They are male, and their genre is pop. But they are not. They are not solo. And they are not from the UK, and their popularity is more than 594.
2014.
Yes.
Male.
Pop.
Pop. Harry Styles? Was he before that?
Well, he was in One Direction before that, but he I don't was know in when One Direction, went.
But his debut was technically 2017.
Well, it said it was.
Also, he's from the UK.
Oh shoot.
He is from the UK. Someone who's not from the UK. Okay, debut 2014.
But it's not a solo, so they're in a group now.
Yes, I guess.
So it's the name
it
of
says
group.
Members solo, and it doesn't have the.
Okay.
So my guess is it's a band, a boy band. Oh, can I guess? Am I allowed to guess?
Yeah.
Is it 5 Seconds of Summer?
They're older than that, though, aren't they?
It's 5 Seconds of Summer.
It was.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. The way I just ate. Y'all are losers.
The first guess, dude.
Literally the first, because I was like, okay, so it's debut 2014 and it's a boy band because they said all male. So I'm like, or it said male, so I'm assuming it was all male. So I was like, okay, who was all male? Who was around the One Direction time? Because I knew it wasn't One Direction. 5 Seconds of Summer.
Wow.
It looks so perfect standing there in my American Apparel underwear.
2014, though.
And they're Australian, which I actually thought they were American. But popularity 203, genre pop, gender male, debut 2014, members 4. And I know a lot of 5 Seconds of Summer girlies, so let us know if you guess 5 Seconds of Summer when I did. So we went from James Taylor, which corrected to James Bay, to Harry Styles, to 5 Seconds of Summer. I'm so
very
proud
different
of,
artists there,
this is
though.
So cool. Wow, we got that in less than 4 guesses.
That was unexpected. Like, wow. I thought we were going to be here for 22 minutes.
Same. I was like, we're definitely not getting this. Do we want to do it on someone else's phone?
Yeah. Dale?
Sure.
It's a spottle.io. Because it only lets you do it once a day. But if you would like to go play for yourself, spottle.io, spotle.io. Spottle, sponsor us.
Yes.
Actually, that'd be such a good sponsor.
That would be cool. What if you did it with podcasts, though? What if you did it with podcasts, though? You had to guess what podcast it was.
Oh, oh there's too many. And
yeah, everyone would just guess Joe Rogan.
Ours would be number one popularity. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And if it ain't, that's your fault.
What would our prompt be for people? Be like,
Are you a successor?
Early 2020s. All male.
Okay.
All right. What's our first guess as for the artist? Where are we starting off?
You start, because I went last.
I don't even know. Justin Timberlake. Just throw something
in. Justin Timberlake. All right, so once again, male artist. Genre is pop. Debut 2002. Solo. American.
2002? It is 2002?
2002.
Oh, okay. Solo, pop, 2002. Is male?
Male, right?
Or no?
Male.
Okay.
Mario?
I was like, Super Mario?
What? Nope. Nope.
Does it say from the U.S. or no?
From the U.S.
Can I see?
It's American.
Okay. No, Dale doesn't know what he's talking about. Can I see? It is a male, and the genre is pop.
That's what I said.
Yeah. So the greens.
That's what I said.
But you were saying the debut was 2002.
Oh, so it's newer than 2002.
From the USA. They're not from the US, and their debut is higher than 2002.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, I see.
So when it's green, that means you got it right.
I see. Okay. I got what's going on.
So not from the US, and it's male.
Not from the US, male, pop.
Okay.
Newer than 2002.
Okay, and it's not even yellow, so it's probably a little bit... Harry Styles.
Yeah, about to say, should we just guess that again just to narrow it down?
Harry Styles. No. He is too new. His debut was 2017, but we're much closer. Much closer.
And he's not from the... This person's not from the UK.
Not from the UK.
Are they solo or no?
Well, actually, I'm going to assume not, because okay, solo so is not lit up. Popularity is less than 133.
Wait, are they all the same every day? Is it 5 Seconds of Summer again?
Guess that real quick.
Wait.
It is.
Oh. We're so good at this game.
Talk about time management. We just got punked by...
We did.
We lost how many minutes?
Dang it.
I wish they would let us do more than one, but yeah. Spottle, you really should sponsor us, because we could easily do one game a episode, just saying.
That's how they keep you coming back. But they're helping you with time management, because they don't want you to be on your phone doing it all day.
You know what?
Smart.
That is smart.
Shout out Spottle.
Like what you're doing, Peace. What do we do now?
Well, I guess form a boy band from Australia.
What would our boy band? A boar band?
A boar band.
We're all just like wild hogs. We're boars now.
Ew, no, boars scare me. Oh, wait,
why? I feel like most wild animals scare
that's
you.
That's true. But remember when I saw that dead boar on the side of the road on our way back from Oklahoma?
No.
What?
Last year?
No.
It was scary. It was huge. I thought it was like a giant panther or something. And I was like, I've never seen a boar like in person. And they're so big and scary.
I mean, they're
I don't think
good.
You saw it, but I remember like yelling about it.
Maybe I was sleeping.
Maybe.
So, I don't know why this made me think of, or that made me think of this, but have you guys seen the trailer for the live action Lion King?
Disney, stop. The trailer? Stop.
I agree.
Stop. Are they doing a second one? Because they made
doing a prequel.
They're doing about a prequel Mufasa. About Mufasa. Oh. Yeah.
And it's live action, except all the it's animals all... are generated. Yeah. CGI. I am interested, though, because Blue Ivy, I think it's her debut. Interesting.
Really? No but idea who that is.
Blue Ivy's Beyonce's daughter. It's so like, Beyonce's in it because she was in the Lion King. Hmm. I'm just like, bro, we don't care.
Where all of the voices are like, they just don't fit.
They don't fit. Seth like, Rogen is in it.
Of course he is.
Well, like, yeah, Seth Rogen was...
Zazu.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking she is.
Seth Rogen was in Zazu. Hyena. Seth no, Rogen Seth Rogen is he's the hog.
Oh, that makes sense. That checks
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he was another one, which I think that's a great voice casting, personally.
No, it's perfect for the hog.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's gotta be a
what is his name? Puma.
Please Puma. Stop with the live action Disney. Agreed. I'm praying, I'm begging. Yeah. They're not good. I like The Little Mermaid, and that was pretty much it.
I still haven't seen that
well,
one
Well, it's
yet.
Like, kids are... like grown up now and they don't know the original one. No. Like they truly this is their original one.
They're I like, am oh. Little excited Mermaid.
If it was made
see.
Well, I wouldn't mind as much, but it's just the fact that like they just keep pumping them out and like no one they're not good.
Yeah.
Sonic.
No, I love the live action Sonic. That's not a remake. That's not a live action remake.
They had to reanimate it, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
I love Sonic.
I am excited to see Lilo and Stitch though.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's a good one to do for that.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. That's a rough
David,
one.
David is only looking for the one part, his favorite line.
He's unconscious, but I think he's alive. That's my favorite part in the whole movie. But didn't they just have Comic-Con last month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch any of the Marvel trailers at all? Okay.
No, the only thing I know is about Doctor Doom. And
yeah. I am disappointed in that casting.
What's his name?
What casting?
Robert Downey Jr.
Me too.
Because, like, I love RDJ. He's a phenomenal actor. But why are you double casting someone who's already been in the universe in such an established role
agreed.
For so long?
And here's the answer. Money. Money. And look, man, I just... I cannot believe the oversaturation of Disney. Like, the Kang Dynasty was supposed... I'm just going to go on a rant here. Kang Dynasty was supposed to be the next Avengers movie. They're scrapping it.
Oh, yeah.
They're not even going to go with that storyline. And that is such a rich storyline.
It is.
And they literally, the Ant-Man 2 was like not good anyways.
Were any of them good?
Quantumanium was the third one.
Third one, yeah.
Second one was Ant-Man and the Wasp was...
It was mid. It was very mid. Like
the
below
first
mid.
Ant-Man was fun.
That one was fun.
I liked the first Ant-Man.
Okay, so go back to our very, very first... No, maybe it's our second episode. I don't remember. It's an episode where David brings a comic book for Show and Yell. And he lets the audience know he had been to every single Marvel... What is it? Premiere?
Every
late night
opening
premiere.
Night of every Marvel movie from Iron Man until Avengers Endgame.
Which is insane. So
it's nuts.
Marvel, you're letting this man down. You're letting our man David down.
You're letting me down, Kevin.
So
you're letting me down. But no, they went with Kang Dynasty and they built all this like exposition up to it and then they scrapped it. And granted, Secret Wars, it's a great giant. Yeah, we get it. It's awesome. But also just you're doing too
they've
much.
Done
how
so
they
much
did
Secret
the
Secret Wars and like animated shows, haven't they? I remember they did it for Spider-Man.
Well, animated in the 90s. What animated shows do? Are you talking about the shows or the movies? The movies?
I don't know.
Because there are
the shows,
like
I guess.
Animated movies that come out before the live action movies, like because people can't wait for it, and it's literally just to get like you to buy a movie you think is the for kids to like see the movie before it comes out or whatever. Like before Avengers Infinity War, there were like two animated movies. Infinity War, like they were kids' versions though, and it was just like, I don't know, man. It's such oversaturation. To me, it all ended when Disney Plus started becoming a thing, and like everything was it has to have every character in every Marvel movie has to have a backstory.
Yeah.
Enough.
So many we shows. Don't, some of it's the first hard to catch up.
We don't need a backstory of a cat in the background of Ant-Man. Like, it would just enough with that. I mean, Loki was a great story, and it is a great story, and it played into the Quantum Mania.
There's a handful that were pretty good.
Oh, I loved Scarlet Witch.
WandaVision?
It was good.
And I enjoyed Hawkeye. It. You know what part I love that Dale hates of Hawkeye? Is the musical. The Avengers musical.
Oh, no.
Is genius. I love it. And then they ended up doing an actual version at Disney, and I wanted to go so bad.
And I like
wanted to go too.
The thing about those two is like that was around COVID, right? Like,
yeah.
And so people were like unified by WandaVision and Loki, and like everyone's watching Disney Plus, and it was like fresh off of Endgame, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And then everyone started having a life again, and then it's like...
And well, then we got She-Hulk.
The shows tanked very quickly. Like those first couple of shows that came out with, it's kind of like Mandalorian. Like the first two seasons of Mandalorian were really good, and then the plot ended, and there wasn't originally going to be a season three. But when they brought it back for season three, it just
She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk was,
An abomination, and that's not a joke.
So excited for She-Hulk because I love She-Hulk's like character. I don't know that much about her, but like you know, and I loved WandaVision, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, girl power, let's go. Oh, it was so bad. I tried so hard to love it, y'all. It just was so poorly written.
The part that made me the most mad, I was like, it was poorly written, and to an extent, I was like, maybe I can get past this. Okay, the dialogues are off. I was excited to see Daredevil's return. I think Charlie Cox is an amazing actor.
That was
actor.
The only good episode.
He's a phenomenal Daredevil. But the part of that whole show that sealed the fate was the last episode and how they watched
so awful.
They watched they wasted your entire time of the entire season because everything comes up to the end and then they're like that doesn't happen, we're just gonna like revoke everything we've done up to this point and just be like nah okay
this is such a side comment punked. But shout out to anyone who ever watched the full series of Pretty Little Liars and got to the final episode. I am still so angry at the writers. I forget her name, Margaret something. Girl, I hope you're having a bad day.
Real quick, guess how much the budget was for She-Hulk the first season?
$102 million.
$102 million?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I don't know. I'm not good with
$225 million.
Oh my god!
For that junk.
It was so bad.
I mean.
They could have paid me $1,000 and I could have written a better script for a whole season than that.
It was bad.
Bro,
I'm not a screenwriter.
It's just the way, and like, what's y'all's opinion on Captain Marvel movies before I go in this?
I love Brie Larson. I love Brie Larson's album from 2004. So random. But, I mean, they're fine. Like, I don't really have
the first
big opinion on them.
First movie
I don't really remember them.
Was okay. I haven't seen the second one.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one.
I think visually speaking, like she looks like the character.
I don't
like how she portrays the attitude of the character.
Brie Larson,
which is so funny because she's an amazing
actress.
She's
a great actress. I love her in a lot of stuff. I do not like her in this movie. She's great in Scott Pilgrim's.
Yes.
Yes.
She is
yes.
Not great. Again,
friend of a friend.
Right. And it's like, I know Disney's waving money in your face, but is there any embarrassment anymore? Is anyone ever embarrassed by their like portrayals of certain characters?
Yeah. To be fair, if Disney gave me a check to be in a Marvel movie, I'm taking it, whether I know I'm fit for the role or not. Are you a sellout? Yes,
but,
I am.
But then you're a meme. You're a meme forever. You
one
know?
Thing that
but
Disney.
But Brie Larson, like, she has the career to back herself has, up to where she's probably fine. Like,
right.
The thing Disney did really well and I think what made Phase 1 and even Phase 2 so successful is when they were casting and making their choices, they weren't choosing current A-list actors. Now, they were choosing people a lot of times that had some experience and were maybe known in specific genres. You know, you might know them over here, but they weren't like, oh, everybody knows these people.
Yeah.
They were choosing people with enough experience to be able to act well, but not so much fame that they brought in all this baggage of like, oh, they only play this one type of character.
Yeah.
Or people who had acted when they were younger and have had a huge, break in their career as far as like they took time off, like Robert Downey Jr., for instance. And so he's able to take a little bit of a reset because his stardom was when he was a lot younger and maybe he was a little more typecast, but he's older now and can overcome that because of age and time, you know. And they were able to mold and choose people that people didn't have expectations of coming into it. And they were able to fit those characters wonderfully. And then now that's changed. Now they're starting to try to pull in actors that are, oh, these are already huge name actors.
Yeah.
We're just going to shoehorn them into this role. But everybody's like, oh, but that's already so-and-so. We already, we know what they're like and we expect them to act the same. And they do act the same because that's them. Yeah. They're casting based off of money and potential income for the name that is being brought in rather than, is this person the right person for the role? Can they shift and change and mold into this role the way it needs to?
It's also the director too. Like a great director, like the Russo brothers are great directors.
Oh, Civil War? Or not Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War is great as well.
Winter Soldier
is the one I'm thinking
Civil
of.
Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, yeah. and Endgame were all directed yeah. by the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
And even Taika Waititi, like Thor. Now, granted, Thor Love and Thunder is like, but
yeah.
Thor Ragnarok was amazing.
Great amazing movie.
And I don't know, man. I'm just, it made me so mad when I started like really trying to invest. Because I used to love Marvel so much. Yeah. Like it was so exciting to see the movies and how they connected.
Yeah.
And you always wanted that post-credit scene and like what's going to happen? How does it connect? How does it tie in? And now it's like, okay, well, what you just said was a thing. Now it's not a thing because you did this and it doesn't make sense anymore. There's like clear time gaps in some of the story exposition.
It's a lot.
It's just a lot to keep up with to the point where you bring a friend with you to one of these movies and they're like, dude, I don't know what's going on, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. And you're like, well, that's because you haven't watched 27 movies.
It's gotten too big and it's now eclipsed what is really possible to keep up with in a lot of cases. And it's grown too big for its own nature. And like, how do you get bigger than this? Well, let's do this. And then it's like this crazy idea. But going back in time to when like Infinity War first came out, something I told some of my friends then, and I still stand by, is I really wanted them to. I knew they wouldn't because money's involved and they've made way too much money since then. But when Infinity War happened and the snap happened and, you know, half the universe is completely gone, I was sincerely hoping that all of their promotion leading up to that, talking about how there was going to be another movie, which was Endgame afterwards, I was sincerely hoping that someone there had the spine to let it end with Infinity War and let the good guys lose, let the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe end for the sake of art and for the sake of how bold of a statement
no,
that would have been.
You would, no,
I'm serious. I'm serious.
People
because, like,
would be,
oh, people would be rioting.
Rioting in the streets.
People would be rioting in the streets, but you look back 10, 20 years from now, and you're like, man, that was a epic ending, and somebody had, you know, the guts to pull this off.
Hashtag
and
Thanos was right.
And in the end, what do we get? What do we get? We get something that's gotten too big for itself and doesn't know how to scale back.
It doesn't
and be like,
land
okay.
all
it's also
the...
Interesting how do you go back?
You think about the comic books growing up, like, I mean, that's a lot to keep up with, too. I mean, there's so many comic books, so many different timelines. But it is a little different because, like, Marvel movies are, like, such a... Comic books is more like, okay, you have kind of certain people who really care about comics, whereas Marvel movies kind of appeal to the mass audience. I had a... film teacher that talked about superhero movies, and he's like, they're gonna fade out soon. He's like, we had our natural disaster movies in the like 90s and early 2000s, and we had the, you know, whatever kinds of movies before that, and now we're having the superhero crazy phase, and it's gonna move on to something else, and
to AI.
and that's why I was hoping, let them take, you know, take all this momentum and let them carry that with them to not a natural end, because the natural end is the slow decline into dementia. Let it end when it's at its climax and be something epic. Take a stand for something.
Hire Dale Marvel.
Oh boy.
I got
or
you.
Disney.
Could you imagine that movie?
Get Dale at the Disney
Stickball Man.
Yo.
David, have I ever shown you my action figure collection?
Mm-mm.
I need to show you it next time. Show Neil.
I
literally have about 18 billion collections, and I used to collect action figures. Oh, and I would rip them all out of the box. Vintage ones.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, action figures of us yet?
No, but, I mean, we could sell that as merch. We still don't have merch. My mom the other day was like, do you guys have t-shirts?
If we had bobbleheads of all of us, would you guys buy them?
That'd be cute.
That'd be awesome.
I have a bobblehead size. Okay, so speaking of time management, the last 20 minutes.
That was actually dope. I'm glad. I had to get that out. I was like, yeah. It was harboring some anger.
Hey, guys, what do you think about transitioning into a Marvel podcast?
Yeah. I mean, I could sit here and talk about how Captain America Civil War was not right because the roles are reversed, but we're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about how Iron Man should have been Captain America and Captain America should have been Iron Man. We're going to do that another time. Because we gotta get off of here. So
if you stayed this long, congrats to you.
Yes. Thank
you.
This has been a very sporadic random episode.
Yeah.
Very random. But it was fun.
But we are glad that our successors are back with the successes and
the sus.
And we are thankful that you're here. Thank you so much for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I think it's time for us to leave and go to bed with our delirious minds. And we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Where can they find us?
You can find us at successfully_unsigned on Instagram, Unsigned Podcast on TikTok, and anywhere that you can stream podcasts. You can find us at Successfully Unsigned. Don't forget to rate us on your favorite streaming platforms. Hit that like, hit that subscribe. Until next time.
Love you guys. Goodbye.